One theory of mind and brain actually does recognize the unpredictability of thought and links it to the quantum realm. Roger Penrose, working in collaboration with anesthesiologist Stuart Hameroff, departed from the conventional notion that consciousness is produced by activity occurring in the synapses, the gaps between brain cells. Their theory, known as orchestrated objective reduction, ORC-OR, looked instead to quantum processes that happen inside the neuron. In other words, the reduction in ORC-OR's title is drastic, examining much finer fabrics of nature than chemical reactions. In a microscopic structure of cells known as microtubules, Penrose and Hameroff proposed that unpredictable activity at the quantum level is the origin of events happening in consciousness. Mind needs the quantum to exist. The other two words in the title are just as important. Orchestrated means that orderly brain activity is being controlled from the very origins of the brain at a microscopic level. This is attractive because a basic quality of consciousness is orderly, organized thinking. Objective is important because scientists want to preserve the assumption that anything in creation, including consciousness, must be explainable by physical, that is, objective, processes. In our view, this assumption falls apart when it comes to the inner world of human experience. We don't accept that mind needs the quantum. Penrose and Hameroff took a bold step delving into quantum biology, and it is likely that future theories, or a future revision of ORC-OR, will continue to examine the brain at this level. From our perspective, one particular advantage of ORC-OR is its assertion that the human mind cannot be computed through mathematical formulas. In other words, no matter how predetermined the firing of a neuron is, the thoughts that neurons process are not predetermined. Hameroff and Penrose arrive at this conclusion through some sophisticated quantum reasoning, along with hints from philosophy and advanced logic. But the upshot is fairly simple. No mechanical model will ever explain how humans think. A great deal of confusion and inevitable dead ends would be avoided if other scientists took this point to heart. Like it or not, our minds are on dual control. Sometimes we are the ones in control, sometimes a totally unknown force is in control. This isn't hard to see. If you are asked to add 2 plus 2, you can call up the necessary mental process to arrive at the right answer, because you are in control. There are millions of similar tasks, such as knowing your own name, how to do your job, what it takes to drive a car home from work. And these give us the illusion that we control our own minds all the time. But someone suffering from anxiety or depression is the victim of uncontrolled mental activity, and lack of control can go much further, as in mental illness, for example. A common symptom of various psychoses, particularly paranoid schizophrenia, is the belief that an outside agent is controlling the patient's mind, usually through an alien voice heard in the head. A normal person doesn't usually feel out of control mentally, but if it were really true that we have control over our thoughts, we'd call up any thought we wanted to have, the way you can call up a Google search. And this is far from the case. Love at first sight is a pleasant way to be out of control, and so is the experience of artistic inspiration. We can only imagine the joy of Rembrandt or Mozart in the throes of creating a masterpiece. So dual control has its good and bad side. Life would be robotic if we didn't have flashes of emotion that come of their own accord, along with bright ideas of every kind. What if this everyday fact of life turns out to be the key to the cosmos? Human beings might be a bright idea the universe had, and once the idea occurred to it, cosmic mind decided to run with it. Why? What's so enticing about human beings? troublesome and pained as we are. Only one thing. We allowed the universe to be aware of itself in the dimension of time and space. In other words, at this very moment, the cosmos is thinking through you. Whatever you happen to be doing, riding a bike, eating a Reuben sandwich, making a baby, is a cosmic activity. Take away any stage in the evolution of the universe, and this very moment vanishes into thin air. As astounding as such a claim may be, this audiobook has been building up to it all along. Quantum physics makes it undeniable that we live in a participatory universe. Therefore, it's only a small step to say that the participation is total. Our minds are fused with the cosmic mind. The only reason it took so long to arrive at this conclusion is that old bugaboo, stubborn materialism. As long as you look upon the brain as a thinking machine, there cannot be a cosmic mind. Because in physicalist terms, no brain equals no mind. The obstacle couldn't be more intractable. To remove the obstacle and allow the human mind to fuse with cosmic mind, we must address the mystery of how the brain is related to the mind. There's no way around it. The first person who called the human brain the 3.5-pound universe created an indelible image. If the brain is a unique physical object that functions like a supercomputer, then the physicalists have won. But there is no reason to elevate the atoms and molecules inside our brains to special status. If every particle in the cosmos is governed, created, and controlled by the mind, the brain also functions as the mind dictates. That's the key to solving this, our last mystery.